share some things with you today that have been heavy on my heart. And God, for some reason, you know, when I first heard about this situation, I was really touched, and I thought, God, what can I do? I'm just a normal guy, and there's not much I can do other than pray. And God said, well, that's a good start. And that's something that I noticed in your church here. You guys are a praying church, and I appreciate that. And that's where we need to start. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But I just want to start by sharing with you this hourglass. Most of you can see it. It's an hourglass. Do you notice anything unique about this hourglass? It's a little different. It's red on the top, isn't it? And I painted it red for a reason, because most hourglasses are like, well, you can see what's in the top, and you can kind of see how much time is left. And I thought, but that's not an accurate picture of what our life is like. I wanted to show you what a picture of what your life is like. Your life is like this hourglass, and you can see how much sand has gone through it by looking at the bottom. And you can say, well, every grain of sand represents a minute or a month or whatever you want. You can say, well, I've lived this long, and I can kind of estimate that, well, under normal circumstances, I'm going to live, so many more years. And a lot of us have a tendency of doing that. I know I do. I'm about 43 right now. And I'm like, okay, hopefully 30 or 40 more years, that'd be great. But, the Lord knows. But we all are like this hourglass. We all have a limited amount of time. But the trick is, we don't know when that last grain of sand is going to come through. We have no idea. The Bible says all of our days are written in His book. He knows. He knows the day that we were born into this world, and He knows the day that we're going to die. He knows the second of our last breath. Can you guys show the first slide, please? How much time is left? As you look at this hourglass, if you want to write it down in your bulletin, something that we did with the youth when I shared here, I gave them a little card, and I said, how much time do you think is in this hourglass altogether? I've timed it down to the millisecond. And if you guys want to take a guess, go and write it down. I'll tell you at the end of this presentation how much time is in this hourglass. And so just remember, this kind of represents your life, because we have no idea how long we've got. All right, can we go to the next slide, please? Carpe diem, seize the day. A lot of you are my age or older or some younger. You've probably seen the movie Dead Poets Society, and with Robin Williams. And he basically had a part in that movie. I think the most powerful moment of that movie, when he was talking to a bunch of young fellows about your guys' age. And he was saying, carpe diem, seize the day, because today is the day that you have. You know you have today. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. No guarantee. So you have life. You have a gift from God. You have today. What are you going to do with the gift that you have today? Carpe diem. Okay, next slide, please. In 1933, about 500,000 Jews lived in Germany. That was less than 1% of the total population. Most Jews in Germany were proud to be Germans. They were citizens of a country that had produced many great poets, writers, musicians, artists, and scientists. As a matter of fact, this scientist, you probably recognize, he was a Jew. And he actually happened to be in the United States during the rise of Hitler, during the rise of Nazism. And guess what? He's a pretty smart guy. He decided not to go back to Germany when he saw that they were starting to abuse the Jews. And so he became a U.S. citizen during that time. And God blessed the United States through this man, through Einstein. Okay, next. Okay. When the Nazis came to power, the lives of German Jews changed drastically. On April 1, 1933, the Nazis carried out the first nationwide planned action against them. And this was a boycott of Jewish businesses. Signs were posted all over the place. And you see that Star of David, they were painting on the windows. And they would often paint the signs saying, the Jews are our misfortune. Don't buy from the Jews. And so this is how the Holocaust started. It started with Nazis basically trying to break down the economy of the Jewish people and hurting them financially. We we see the sixth appointed star, the Star of David. It was painted yellow and black, and it was put on the shoulders, on patches on the clothes of the Jewish people so that they could segregate them so they knew who they were. They were forced later on into ghettos, and then they were shipped off to concentration camps where millions died. Many of their fellow Germans did nothing. They did nothing to protect them. They saw what was going on, but they stood silent. They did nothing. The Ten Boom family did something. A lot of you are familiar with Corrie Ten Boom, and some of you might have seen the movie The Hiding Place. If you've not seen it, I encourage you to see it today, as soon as possible. Watch that movie, because that tells you what a strong Christian family, a non-Jewish family, did during the Holocaust, what they did. And we're familiar with Corrie and Betsy Ten Boom. They went off to prison camp. Corrie survived. God saved her through a miracle. Her sister Betsy died. The reason why they were shipped off to a prison camp was because they hid Jews. They knew that the Germans were out to kill the Jews, and they made a special room, a hidden room in their house, and they hid the Jews. Now, something about Caspar Ten Boom, the guy with the beard standing in the middle, the father, he basically said, you know, I want to identify with the Jews, even though I'm not Jewish myself. They were a Christian family living in the Netherlands, and he got one of those golden stars, and he put it on his shoulder, and he wore it on his jacket wherever he went, and they would say, Caspar, you're not a Jew. Why are you wearing that? He said, I want to stand with them. I want to stand with them. They're suffering. I want to suffer with them. And they said, well, that's crazy. You're not Jewish. No, they're my brothers. And when the Germans finally discovered that they had been hiding Jews, they never found the Jews, thank God, but they knew that they were hiding Jews. And when they were taking Corrie and Betsy and the others to prison, they went to Caspar. They said, Caspar, you're an old man. We're going to let you stay here and die in your bed as an old man. We're not going to take you to prison if you promise not to hide any more Jews. You know what he said? He said, for as long as I'm alive, my doors are going to be open to anybody that needs help. They took him to prison. He died 10 days later. I want to be like Caspar. I want to be like Corrie and Betsy. They stood for those that needed help. Can we see the next slide, please? Today we're living in a day of a new Holocaust. There are more persecuted Christians in the world today than there were in the first centuries of Christianity. Can you fathom that? Think about the Christians that were thrown to the lions. Think about the Christians during Nero's time that were tied to the stake and burned alive, used as human torches for his games. All of those Christians that died back then, the first centuries of Christianity, there are more persecuted Christians today than there were back then. Pope Francis said that in July of this year. And now get this. Reported cases of Christians killed for their faith around the world doubled in the year 2013 from the year before. This is how many persecutions are going on in the Christian world today. And they actually doubled in 2013. And it's just getting worse and worse. Next slide, please. This symbol right here is a symbol of a Christian. And it's being painted on the walls of Christian homes, Christian businesses in Iraq. This is the symbol I'm wearing here. The symbol is the Arabic letter for N, standing for Nazarene, or Christian. And so they paint this symbol on the wall. And guess what? They're not like the Nazis. They're not starting by boycotting their businesses. They're saying you have 24 hours to either convert to Islam, pay a tax, or get out, leave everything behind and get out. And a lot of them, most Christians, just leave. And they say, if you don't get out, we're going to kill you. And many, as you know, many have been murdered already. Many have been killed. Next slide, please. You can look at the map there, and you can see what's, if you've been watching the news very much, you know that ISIS has already taken over Mosul. Mosul is the ancient city of Nineveh, where Jonah went. And they've taken over that town, that city. And you can see at the green striped area, that is the territory now influenced and controlled by ISIL or ISIS. And you might have heard in the news about one particular town that's under a lot of fire right now. it's to the north of Aleppo, and it's just right on the Turkey border. And there's a lot of fighting going on there right now, but from what I understand, all that is kind of trying to get our attention away from what ISIS really wants. They really want to go after the American embassy in Baghdad. And so they're focused. You see how close they are down to Baghdad. They're wanting to do that. They're wanting to push up into Turkey. But they want to come after us. They want to come after the United States. They want to come after Christians especially. And basically anybody that doesn't go along with their radical form of Islam. So it's not just Christians that are being that are refugees. There are Yazidis. There are other types of Muslims even that don't want to live under ISIS rule and domination. Okay, can we take a look at the next slide, please? I believe it's a video.
This is Mosul, which was where Christianity has been since 1700 years ago, or 200 years before even the foundation, the invention of Islam. We also know that it was a place of about 30,000 Christians, Assyrian Christians, Chaldean Christians. Now they have come in, ISIS come in. They have not destroyed the churches yet. What they've done is they've taken off the crosses, they smashed the statues, they put a black ISIS flag up. And now they've told everyone, they've gone house to house, put the Arabic letter for Nazarene, Christian. These are Christians, and saying, you're out by 1 o'clock on Saturday, you must be out of here. The ring of pain, that wasn't even a possibility. People know that they better get out of there or they're dead.
Iraq at one point, not long ago, had about 1 million Christians in that country, and now it's down to less than half of that. We're looking right now at figures of just the town of Mosul right now, 60,000 to 35,000. This is such a tragedy. A couple of weeks ago, a story that did not get a lot of coverage was that these ISIS terrorists were attacking the tomb of Jonah. Jonah from the Bible, and his tomb was apparently or believed to be there, and they just completely desecrated it. There's nothing, I think, more sick than doing something
it's
like that.
It's disgusting. And it went from 65,000 to sort of 35,000. Yeah. Now, as of 1 o'clock Saturday, 1 o'clock yesterday, zero. Unless you're an absolute hiding. That would be the reality. The solution. Who is working on the solution? Well, what they're doing is, like, there's 600,000 Iraqis that have now been displaced in other parts of Iraq or going over to Syria. The solution is, first of all, to take care of those who are refugees, who are having to flee for their lives, number one.
The first thing to do is to take care of the refugees. That's what he said. He goes on to talk about some political things as well. But I wanted to share that with you to kind of give you an idea of where the situation is at now. It's just getting worse. This next video I wanted to show you is by Voices of the Martyrs. It's a reenactment. It's something that's going on right now in Syria and Iraq. It gives you kind of a firsthand experience of what Christian families are going through. So if you could play the next video, Leanna's Prayer.
Terrorists are attacking Christian homes.
we share Jesus with Muslims, it is not safe for our family. My husband and I prayed and fasted, and together we agreed. God gave us our precious children. He has the freedom to take them back. When we agreed to put our children on the altar, I knew I had to tell them the truth. I told them that it was possible that men with swords may come through our door, men who didn't know Jesus. They may say bad things to us and try to force us to convert to Islam.
I just want to stop right now and pray for brothers and sisters. Lord, we just lift up to you all of our family around the world. Lord, we know what's going on. We hear reports of what's going on in Iraq and Syria. Lord, the verse comes to mind, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Lord, our brothers and sisters are suffering persecution. They're laying down their lives. They will not deny you. Lord, this is a great burden on our hearts. We're thankful, Father, that you've given them the strength to stand. And we continue to lift them up to you. Lord, we pray that you continue to give them strength. Be with their children. Be with the mothers and fathers that have lost their children. Be with the children that have lost their parents and they're now orphans. Be with the refugees, Father, that they have lost everything. We pray that you would watch over them, continue to give them strength, help them to love their enemies, and stand boldly for their faith. Lord, prepare us for what is coming. In Jesus' name, amen. So now I want to ask at this point, what can we do? We hear this, these reports, and we're burdened by them. What can we do? First of all, we can pray. And we need to continue to pray. Every time we think about this, we need to lift this up to the Lord. There's one more video I want to share with you, and this addresses the issue of what we can do.
Just knew we had to get out.
There wasn't any time to panic. Most
things when you could look into the clues in their books. Filled clothes, medicines, important papers, everything all left behind. I don't know how we'll get by. Someone donated those blankets and pillows, and that's all we have.
Somebody donated those blankets and pillows, and that's all we have. Can you imagine being forced to leave? Somebody spray paints a Christian symbol on your house, and you've got 24 hours to take whatever you can and go, whatever you're able to travel with. Even though I heard that a lot of refugees that were traveling with as much stuff as they had, they were robbed by ISIS as they were leaving. So basically, literally, just the clothes on their back. So what can we do? We can ask God, what do you want me to do? And that's what you should do. That's what I should do. And say, God, I will do whatever you tell me to do. God led me to become a part of this this opportunity. But there are other ministries. Help the Refugees. Voice of the Martyrs is the ministry that I'm talking about mostly today. If you go to persecutiongod.com, their website, you can see more information about this. You can also pray for Crisis Response International. They are a Christian ministry. They are actually on the ground. There are ministries over there that have staff that are actually suffering as well. Some of their staff, CRI and other ministries, their people have been lost. They're trying to protect the refugees, and some of them have been martyred as well. They provide food, clothes, shelter, medical stuff, and Bibles. The Voice of the Martyrs, they provide literature and Bibles and Gospels as well. So continue to pray. Next slide, please. I'm wearing a T-shirt today I got from Voices of the Martyrs with the symbol, the Christian symbol. And that's one thing you can do if you want. If you're interested in one, you can buy one for $20. Those dollars go straight to the Iraqi Christians that are suffering. And then, next slide, please. There's also the action packs, and that's something that we got into as well, our church and our youth group, as well as some other churches I'm familiar with. And your pastor, Steve, ordered, I think, 75 action packs, and that's something that you can do today if you're interested in, I believe. They're $7 each, and you get a packet, and there's a plastic bag, and what you do is you fill the plastic bag with the items that are on the list. There's a list in here that talks about the different things that they need right now, sweaters. It's starting to get cold over there in Iraq and Syria. Hats, knit gloves, Nerf balls for kids, that kind of thing. And so everything is on the list. What Diane and I and some of the folks from our church did, we went to Goodwill on 50% off day. You can buy brand new stuff over there. You can find some really good deals. And we found some really nice clothes and sweaters and so forth. And some of the things you'd have to go to a regular store to find. But we fill our bag, and then after you fill it, you can go ahead and mail it. Now, in the bag itself, there is a label that's stapled to the list, and the label has the address of where you're going to ship it to once your bag is full. And one thing that we ran into at World Missionary Press, we shipped it, and the UPS computer had the wrong address, and UPS made a mistake, and some of these packets came back to us. And, you know, I don't consider that just a little mistake. I believe Satan does not want these packets to go to Christians. He doesn't want these to go out. You know what? Every one of these action packs has a gospel in there. Voice of the Martyrs puts gospels in there. And Voice of the Martyrs has used World Missionary Press scripture booklets as well. And so a lot of times, these action packs will go to Christians. But then I've heard stories of Christians that have action packs and say, hey, you know, they see a Muslim neighbor that maybe they're running to, or other people, they're non-believers, and Christians will actually give their action packs to non-believers, and it's a witnessing tool for them sometimes. And so, what a great opportunity. What a great opportunity. And God is opening doors like never before. People that were close to the gospel, Muslims as well as other people, religious minorities, are open to Christianity now more than ever before because they see these Christian ministries over there helping them. And they want to know, hey, well, what's going on with you guys? You're risking your lives to be here to help us. What are you here for? And it's an open door. It's an open door for Christianity, for God's word to get through. So I wanted to encourage you with that. I want to encourage you if you're going to take one of these, make sure that the address that you mail it to, make sure that when you go to the UPS store, make sure that the address matches the address on the label. That way it'll get to where it needs to go. Next slide, please. This is my family. Most of my, actually all my family's here. They're just not all here right now. Some are in Sunday school. But before I even learned about the T-shirts, we made our own T-shirts. That's our action pack. We started with one. Next slide, please. And then some of our youth group from our church, we did an action pack, and then I shared it with another youth group. Next slide, please. In Pearson, they did an action pack, and the individuals can do it too, not just groups. Next slide, please. This one lady, she said, well, does it have to be a group? Can I just do one by myself? I said, sure, you know, it doesn't matter. So she did one. And then some people have come to me and said, well, can I just give money? And yes, you can. If you go to the website, you can send $30, and Voice of the Martyrs will take care of doing all the packing for you. Just send them the money, and they'll take care of it. But I think there's a real exciting thing about filling the action pack yourself if you're able to do that. When Diane and I went through Goodwill and through the stores and we started buying stuff, you're touching the sweater that's going to bless somebody. You're touching the hat that's going to bless somebody. And you're thinking, this might be the only sweater that this person gets. They've lost everything. We've had a group come to World Machine Press recently that were just in Erbil, which is like 50 miles away from Mosul or Nineveh, where it's being controlled by ISIS. And a lot of Christian refugees have gone over to Erbil. This group just came to World Machine Press and shared, and they said, you got to realize these refugees, they're not all like people on welfare. They're not dirt poor. A lot of these people are Christians like you and me. They own businesses. They have nice houses. They have several cars. Some of them have pools. They've lost everything. Everything. Can you imagine you leaving everything behind because you won't deny Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do that? They are. We have an opportunity, and these verses are so appropriate to us today. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, and at other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he is coming, will come, and he will not delay. The Lord is coming soon. Our time is running out. We don't have much time left in our hourglass. We have just a few grains of sand left. I don't know when my last grain of sand is going to come through, but I want to use every grain of sand for him. I want to be a part of this verse to you. You stood side by side with those who were so treated. I want to be a part of that verse. I want to stand side by side. I want to be like Casper Ten Boom. I want to suffer with my brothers and sisters. I want to help them for as long as I'm able to help them. Because persecution could come to us, and we need to be ready for that. Next slide, please. God is working. This is the exciting part. This is so exciting. More Muslims have come to Christ in the past, and that's wrong. It's the past two decades, the last 20 years, then the last 14 centuries. Can you imagine? That's amazing. God is doing an amazing work. I just read a book recently, a book called A Witch None Can Shut, a missionary family that has gone over to work with the Arabs. And God is doing amazing things. He's giving them visions in the night. They're waking up. People that are radical Muslims, the next day, they're like, Jesus came to me in the night, and he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, just like Jesus came to the Apostle Paul when he was Saul on the road to Damascus. That's happening today. People are seeing visions. People are meeting Christ in different ways. They're seeing Christ through these action packs. They're reading the gospel through literature. People are coming to Christ by the thousands. I think I read 6 million Muslims a year come to Christ, something crazy like that. That's just amazing to me. God is reaping a great harvest, a great harvest. We can be a part of that. Okay, next slide, please. I believe. promised you something. I promised you that I would tell you what the time is on this. And if you put the slide up, I think it'll show you how much time is in the hourglass. 30 minutes, 9 seconds, and 6 milliseconds. So hopefully some of you are close. But just wanted to close with just the fact that, you know, we can know exact timings of certain things, but how much time do you have left? I don't know. How much time do I have? How many years? How many months? How many days? I don't know. But we have today. What are you going to do with your sand? Lord, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to share today. Thank you for the life that you've given to us. Thank you for each person here that represents a divine spark. Lord, you put sand in each one of our hourglasses. You've given us time. You've given us the blessing of life. You've given us the blessing of living here in America. You've given us the blessing of freedom. Most of all, Father, you've given us the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died and redeemed us from sin. Lord, we don't have to be afraid of death because Jesus Christ has conquered death. And Lord, he's living within us. And so, Father, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, Lord, we look for the day when we are together with you. But Lord, right now, in this little life that we have, in this vapor that we have, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to use it to the maximum. Lord, let us bless you with our lives. Show us what you want us to do. Help us to help other people. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.